Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the GoTo Group Book Club. Today I have the honor to be here on stage. My name is Nicola Corti. I'm software engineer, open source lover. I do all sorts of things on GitHub. You can find me all over the place as Cortinico. But the spotlight of this episode today is Marcin Moskała, author of Effective Kotlin. Marcin, to you.
Thank you. Good, great to be here.
It's awesome because we already know each other. We've been like collaborating on a sorts of things, Marcin, and it's amazing. Like when speaking with you is always a pleasure. So let's start by giving the audience a little bit of introduction on what you do. Like so what do you do in life? Tell us a little bit about your background and your relationship with Kotlin.
I mean, my relationship with Kotlin started long time ago. I counted recently that it is around 11 years ago. Whoa. Most people do not know Kotlin exists for so long, as most people learned about it like 2 or 3 years ago. But Kotlin is actually a pretty old language. It is developed since 2010 and open sourced, like released in 2011. I use it professionally since 2015. I used it in private projects a little bit earlier. When I was Kotlin developer, I was lacking some resources about Kotlin, and I started teaching it. Started first writing about it, writing blogs, writing making some presentations. And this is where I got my idea to write my first book. By the way, when I started writing it with Igor, there was practically no books published about Kotlin. There was this Antonio Leiva book that was, I believe, in early access, something like that. And when we were writing the book, he published it. I also, if I remember right, the first edition of Kotlin in Action was also not sure if published or just disenclosured, announced when we were writing the book, but they were published more or less at the same time. So I guess our book was like third on the market or something like that. But this was the a different book. This was Android development with Kotlin,
yeah,
which is a little bit misleading title because we wanted it to be called Kotlin for Android developers because this is what it was. It was about Kotlin and with particular spotlight on Android developers. This title was already taken, so our publisher told us to change the name and suggested this one instead.
Got it. Okay, so I mean, from the early days of Kotlin, now today you're here with us to spotlight your book, which is Effective Kotlin. So people in the audience might actually know similar books, like Effective Java. I know that is one of the really popular one. I'm sure there are other Effective Star, where Star is the name of a programming language out there. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce this book. So what is it all about? How you came up with the idea? Like, tell us, give us an elevator pitch of this book.
You are perfectly right. This is a long tradition of books that actually has started with Effective C++. By Scott Myers, an amazing book by an amazing developer, with I believe this was like 42. That's a nice number of specific items of how to improve your C++ programming. And after that, other books followed. And yes, the popular one, the most popular one in our infosphere is Effective Java by Joshua Bloch. But there are others, and I read them. Not all of them, but majority of them. I definitely read Effective Java a couple of times, Effective C++, Effective Python, Effective JavaScript. Effective Python was fun. those are not very popular ones. I think one of them was surely self-published. They had some strange parts. I would say controversial parts. I remember, for instance, Effective Python. I don't know if this is still there, but there was this item that you might use a useless varark argument to enforce everything after that to be called by name. Yeah, named arguments. And so I was reading them, preparing for writing this book. Now, why I decided to write it? I was actually pretty annoyed by what I could see in Kotlin community, especially once it became an official language of Android and it started popularizing very quickly. We had a huge waves of developers from Java. That were not enthusiasts, passionate in Kotlin, but rather developers who are just, you know, using it as another language, and they were just writing Java in Kotlin, which was quite annoying, not utilizing Kotlin possibilities, capabilities. But what was even more annoying to me, it was that they were naively porting Java practices into Kotlin. You see, most of those guys read Effective Java, and Effective Java is an amazing book. It's great. But many of its items do not apply to Kotlin. Just the opposite. They shouldn't be applied to Kotlin. Like one simple example is the builder pattern. Effective Java suggest you to use a builder pattern, which is very useful in Java, because Java is not having named optional arguments. And Effective Java, Joshua Bloch explicitly wrote in the book, I remember the fragment, I even quoted it in some post, that the reason why we use this pattern in Java is because Java doesn't have named optional arguments, which by the way, I have no idea why it should have them. It's like one of the most basic features, that language, no modern languages have. And that's the only reason to use this pattern. In Kotlin, this pattern practically makes no sense. In simple cases, named optional arguments are enough. In more complex cases, we have better tools like DSLs, which are also builders, but different Kotlin-specific builders. You can consider a builder pattern practically excluded, useless in Kotlin, unless you want to design a code that is interoperable with Java. Of course, there are some things that look like builder pattern. If you now think about, I know that you are also using Compose, and in Compose we have the modifier, which looks like a builder, but that's not a builder. Those are the decorators that are just implemented in a builder-like style. The classic builder pattern practically has no use in modern Kotlin programming, unless you are doing. And there were many such things, many things, like people were using trying to use static factory functions in Kotlin, which first of all is impossible. You need to use a companion object factory functions, which looks similar, but it's a little bit of a nonsense, because in most cases in Kotlin it is more appropriate to use other techniques like top level function, like extension functions, or Or other patterns, or for instance, copying constructor. We practically don't do that in Kotlin. We have different practices in Kotlin, and that there were many things that has changed with Kotlin, and that made suggestions in effective Java outdated for Kotlin, and there were also many practices that just Kotlin style changed, like maybe they could be applied in a similar way as in Java or as effective Java suggested, but it just wasn't the Kotlin style. It just wasn't what the creators of Kotlin were doing. What was the, the dominant, dominantly assumed good style. This motivated me to write this book.
It's really inspiring story. I have to share that I obviously had the pleasure to read your book. I remember I was in vacation.
Review even.
even review some of it. I remember I was in vacation in Sweden and I took like my Kindle with me and I was like looking through the all the various items and like the some of them are really inspiring. I maintain static analyzer for Kotlin called Detect, and I remember we get back to items in your book multiple times as inspiration for rules. So it really helped the Kotlin community to form like a consensus on what it means to write idiomatic Kotlin, which is really like is really inspiring for a book. The question that I have for you is more like, how do you decide? Like if an item makes it inside the book or not, because at the end of the day you have this list of items, no, like with a number, so it's even easy to get back to them, no. But how do you decide if a rule or a pattern that you saw in the community actually becomes an item for effective Kotlin, or is just like I don't know, like a rule that someone is following, but it's not worth like a top level item in your book?
Yeah, that was actually a tough decision because I always wanted to be a voice of a community, not a voice of my own. Mm-hmm. That's why I consulted it quite massively. Thankfully, I had a really nice contact with creators. The Kotlin community, when I started, was very, very small. And so everyone nearly knew each other. if you go to a conference and there are two presentations about Kotlin, then you immediately go to the other speaker and you get to know each other. Yeah. And this is how it looked like in 2015. And even 2016, so I had some contact with creators, with Andrei, because Andrei Breslav was the was in charge then. He actually created Kotlin until its stable levels and beyond. But I received even more help from other team members. For instance, there is Orangi. Not sure if I'm pronouncing his nickname right, but he's an amazing developer with a very deep insight. He created Ktor and many libraries, and he was very, very helpful on the way. We had quite a few discussions about different suggestions. What was very, very helpful. Outside of that, I made a massive research. I might say, I was like writing this book, rewriting. If you collect all the pages that I wrote for this book, I think it would be three times as big, and it is already a massive book. I read as I said, pretty everything I could I could find in this topic. I knew that looking only around Java suggestions would be a very, it wouldn't be a good approach. Kotlin was striving or maybe in many ways more similar to more modern languages. That's why I was checking what they write about the best practices for JavaScript, which in many ways is more modern than Java, Python, Scala, Groovy and other languages. I even found some really, really useful things in C sharp, because C sharp also had some features that are in Kotlin that are not in JavaScript, like extension functions or named arguments. I think, for instance, the general rules for when extension function should be defined instead of a member was taken. I mean, I took it from the documentation of Kotlin, but Kotlin like nearly literally copy pasted. It was there in documentation for a very short time, and it was quite literally copy pasted from a documentation of C sharp. Later they removed it, but that was my key inspiration for the item. There were also some presentations that Kotlin creators made. And there was a presentation, Idiomatic Kotlin by Dmitry Yemerov, that was never really well recorded. I mean, it has, I'm not sure if you can find it right now on YouTube, but back in the days, this presentation had only one recording, which was like extremely poor quality and not a very popular one. But Dmitry was one of the key creators, one of the first people who joined the Kotlin team, and he had a very, very deep insights. And he also co-authored with Svetlana, co-authored the Kotlin in action. So, so his insights were very useful. And I included nearly all of them in different items of effective Kotlin.
Awesome. So talking about item, like different items, because now we sort of presented the book, but let's try to make it a little bit more practical for the users. And I want to ask you, what is your favorite effective Kotlin item? The one that you always remember or the one that you always quote?
I think to use factory functions would probably the one, or to avoid or to prefer composition over inheritance. Mm. But those are, of course, not originally my items. Mm-hmm. They are actually present in nearly all effective X formats, as they are quite well-established items. However, I must say I'm pretty proud of those two, because I think I made those items very, very Kotlinish. Mm-hmm. So in the item to use factory function, I mean, to prefer factory functions instead of secondary constructors, because, okay, you still need the constructor to create an object. You cannot live without a constructor. But the thing is that for creating something outside of a basic way of creating an object, basic in a way that the one that relate corresponds directly to the shape of this object, instead of making other constructors, it's better to use a factory function. And I'm very proud of this item, because back then and still on many blog posts, people are just quoting effective Java, which is, you know, suggesting to use factory functions, which as I said, companion object factory functions, which are not very Kotlinish, which are very, very strange thing in Kotlin. Whereas I here extracted all the basic ways of creating objects, creating different kinds of objects, that are used in Kotlin. And I think it is a very, very nice summary that, universal, factories of some kind, you are using top level functions. But if you want to create a copy of an object or transform or convert from one type to another, you are using conversion functions or an extension function with these two prefix. The other type. And if you can use a factory object for a complex objects that require dependency, etc. So, I think I made a nice repository of all the different ways, how we create objects and in what situations we generally use them. And about using composition over inheritance, I also am very proud of that, because Joshua List made a very, very good argument about the problems with inheritance. He directly pointed out what was, you know, very shocking and revealing for community, that inheritance breaks encapsulation and can lead to some serious problems in longer run. And that was very insightful, very useful. I think it's amazing. I also included that. Yeah. But I think he still missed something that is much bigger. He missed something that is much bigger, which is that, extracting behavior by inheritance typically complicates our code quite massively, in big part because we can only inherit from one class. But if we could inherit from many classes, it wouldn't help. It would just hurt us in different ways. The point is that if you want to extract some functionality, if you use inheritance, it's first of all implicit. It's hard to find it. It's hard to navigate on our code and understand what's going on. Second of all, it is it is hard to organize it, because you must put it on the upper class, but you can only inherit from one class. So in the result, we have these massive classes like base activity or base controller or base whatever, which has massive amount of classes and all these kinds of problems that I could observe over the years that are the result of overusing inheritance for extracting common behavior. I think that's the strongest argument against inheritance. I am very proud to myself that I defined it and I described it there.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Should I be excited or afraid of AI? The answer is yes, it's both.
Things are going to look so different in the next couple years. You will not be ready for the disruptions that are going to come.
I'm Jeff Nielsen, host of Digital Disruption, the go-to podcast for technology leaders.
Our generation's conflict, I think, is going to be emotional, not economic.
The companies that are going to win are the ones that have a couple of characteristics.
Stay ahead of the curve with Digital Disruption, available now on your favorite podcast platform.
Awesome. Like it's amazing to keep you to hear again about those items. Now you make me want to get back the book and give it another read. And talking about this, actually, I'm curious because, Kotlin, the language itself, is evolving. Like, for folks that are not into it, that much, version 2.1 got released some months ago, weeks ago, and it's containing new language features like guarded one and so on. So I'm wondering, like, how does effective Kotlin keep up to date with an evolving language? And it's not just new language feature now. We saw like Kotlin getting more and more multi-platform. So I assume there will be items that are more like specific to, I don't know, using Kotlin in a multi-platform manner. So like in general, how do you keep your book up to date? Are you planning a second edition? How do you evolve it?
Kotlin in its core hasn't really changed much. I mean, since I published this book, you are right that Kotlin introduced some other capabilities. Yeah. Throughout this time, coroutines were released, which was a huge, huge thing. I haven't updated effective Kotlin with coroutines, because I published a separate book about coroutines, which is explaining coroutines, but also describing best practices for using them. So that's why I feel perfectly fine with not describing coroutines there. If you want to learn about coroutines, if you want to learn how to use coroutines, just check out my other book, which is also extremely popular. About multi-platform capabilities, I overviewed them in the first edition. But back then, they were not used too widely, and I might open myself for observing if those multi-platform capabilities are changing some aspects of style. Maybe I should consider that. But these capabilities this is still a wild west. So we still need to wait some time to see how this actually influences the result style. We still don't really know how people will be using that. For instance, right now there is a there are already many companies that are extracting some parts into logic and clients into common modules to reuse them between Android, iOS, web. But there is already another approach, which is, you know, Compose multi-platform, which is quite young at the moment, but evolving very, very quickly. That would completely change this picture. You know, I mean, it's very different if you need to design your code for being used in different languages versus if you just write this code in one, in Kotlin and it is just compiled for different platforms. So, I haven't yet included too much in the book. I described in details the Kotlin multi-platform capabilities and problems or the specificities of different platforms like JVM or JS platform in another book in the advanced Kotlin book. But yes, I'm not having plan to update effective Kotlin about it. About other things, Kotlin hasn't really changed much. Kotlin 2.0 was just an internal cleanup. And the K2 compiler introduced some small improvements and better build time, but essentially it hasn't changed the language. The guards that you mentioned are a very, very, very minor thing. Many other things that were introduced. I might consider adding some item related to one or two of them, but most of them are not changing anything. I'm rather updating my other books about Kotlin about them, just to show that those capabilities are possible. But about updating the book, it's actually third edition right now. Okay. I think. But I'm not updating this book because Kotlin is changing. I'm primarily updating this book because I am changing. And one thing that has changed over time is that I got more mature in some aspects. I also I organized some of the rules better in my head. So I for instance described something and I think it's a good description, but sometime later I figured out that maybe a better example can be used or something else can be described. So that was a big source of changes in the book. And the second big source of changes in the book is related to efficiency optimization. That was my, let's say, weakest point when I was writing this book. I read a lot about performance optimization, but I wasn't that much of a practitioner in this area when I was writing the initial version of this book. I don't know, it was 2017, something like that. And but over the last couple of years, I'm specializing in efficiency optimization. I'm literally working as a consultant for companies and literally helping those companies either deal with some problems like exceptions that they are dealing with and that are not find easy to find, or instabilities that are that they are not sure what are what is their origin. And I also help optimize services and applications. Over that years, I gained plenty of knowledge about efficiency. And I was updating the book. I was updating the book, but right now I kind of feel that this last part, because it is the fourth or sixth part, one of the parts is about efficiency, it includes a lot of information, like. Third part, efficiency. It includes a lot of information, but I feel they are not well organized. I organize them in the same way as Effective Java organized them. So I started from how memory is allocated, from optimizing memory and stuff. But right now I would organize it in a different way, and I plan to organize it in a different way. So I hope to make this update next year. So I plan to start from measuring things, because that's actually how we should start, beyond all those rules for, you know, better memory management and stuff. There is that we should just set up tools to measure things, to see our response time, memory allocation use, etc. So measuring the debugging, and then go down into practices that we use on different levels, yeah, like cache that is used on all the levels, until the very 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 low level optimizations, like things like optimizing for primitives. It should be one of the last items, because it's like the last resource practice that we use only in the parts that needs to be extremely extremely efficient.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now in its fifth season, Inspiring Tech Leaders is the podcast that talks about technology strategies, challenges, and breakthroughs shaping today's digital world. Each week, Inspiring Tech Leaders brings you technology reviews and interviews with visionary CIOs, CTOs, and industry pioneers. Whether you're leading a tech team or just love innovation, Inspiring Tech Leaders is your go-to source for inspiration and real-world advice. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform.
Awesome. So we touched a lot, like, on a number of different things. I hope we're going to see like a revised version of Effective Kotlin this year or next year that we can read through. But you also mentioned other books. You mentioned the Advanced Kotlin one. You mentioned the Coroutines one. I want to give the audience like a bigger picture, because in reality, Effective Kotlin is part of a series of book, right? I think it's called Kotlin for Developers. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I want to give you the opportunity to sort of like spotlight which other books you brought in this series, so that there might be people in the audience that are more interested in, as you said, like more advanced Kotlin, and so there is a dedicated book for them. So which like, tell us about this series, which books are inside, and who are they for?
Yeah, so originally I published this book with Igor, Android Development with Kotlin, and then I published Effective Kotlin, and I felt quite satisfied with that. There was a book about Kotlin for beginners and how to use it well, and I felt pretty well. Then Coroutines came out, so I published a book about Coroutines, which is still, I believe, the most popular and well-established book about Kotlin Coroutines, Kotlin Coroutines Deep Dive. But then I wanted to stop, but one thing was bugging me. I kind of had a feeling that I just haven't covered it all. So I I wasn't fully satisfied with the first book I published. Like, honestly, if I would be writing my first book right now, I would like make it completely different. I made the best work I could do back then. But throughout the years, I was teaching Kotlin. I'm a trainer. I'm conducting workshops. I'm teaching people. I'm also giving consultations. So I've seen quite a lot, and I've gained a lot of knowledge about how to explain different things. So I wasn't happy with this initial book, and that's why I decided to kind of rewrite it, but rewrite it in like a complete form, like one like good form that ends it all. So I decided to turn it off into a series. That is a series of five books, and that's a complete series right now. It starts from Kotlin Essentials, which is about essentials of Kotlin, the basic features. Then there is a functional Kotlin, which covers the more advanced features. Lambdas, function references, collection processing. I kind of have a feeling that those two books could be one book because they together cover like the essentials, let's say. Mm-hmm. However, it would be a massive book. Yeah, those are, I just had a lot to say about both of those. I wanted to cover things about all the different collection processing functions with real life examples and all the other features, like how to define your own DSL, how to use scope functions, yeah, let with apply. So I had a lot to say. That's why there are two books instead of one, but I think they are dividing pretty nicely. The Kotlin Essentials is kind of enough for a person who just wants to use something similar as in Java, but in Kotlin, and effective and functional Kotlin is very good lecture for those who are basic Kotlin users and want to improve their Kotlin skills. Then in the series, then there is coroutines, which is like the mm-hmm. next level. Once you know all the basics, you should learn coroutines, as they are extremely useful and important in Kotlin, both in Android and in backend world. And then there is a book, Advanced Kotlin, which is actually one of my favorite books. It's a book I really, really wanted to write. Even though there is not that much audience for this book, because it's a book about, particularly about advanced Kotlin features. So it is describing KSP in nice details, the compiler plugins. There is your chapter
about static that analyzers. Yeah. So go check advanced Kotlin for sure.
Yeah. I actually love this book. I was extremely passionate writing it. There is about multi-platform development, about the specificities of Kotlin JS, about interoperability with Java, about generic variance modifiers, yeah, about delegation pattern, like only advanced Kotlin features. Mm-hmm. And it's packing the whole book, and I think it's amazing. Yeah, the annotation processing. So very fun book. But for a very particular audience, for a very small audience of people who are very good in Kotlin and are interested only in advanced things. And then it kind of ends with effective Kotlin, which is about the best practices for using Kotlin.
So folks in the audience that have desire to learn Kotlin have plenty of opportunity with your series. You can find it on Amazon, on Leanpub. So go check them out. So as the episode is slowly getting to an end, I actually want to ask you one final question. And it's about an initiative that I know you ran some years ago. And I think it helps the audience get like an understanding of you as a person and as a as a teacher, as someone that wants to give to the rest of the community. And this initiative was called Give It Forward. I want to leave you the stage to tell us what it was about. And use this as a closing note for this episode.
I would love to resume it again with other books, but I just wanted to spread some knowledge about programming in the community. In the wider community among non developers. And my reflection was that there are plenty of great materials for learning programming. Yeah. You can use YouTube. You can use free courses. There is plenty of ways for learning that. The problem of people is that they do not know how to start. So, I decided to write a book. I decided to write a book about programming from scratch, which I wanted I wanted it to present the basic concepts of a language and make it like fun, interesting, entertaining. Yeah. So that someone can just read it, feel that programming is fun and learning about programming is fun. And then like a very big part of this book, there is a part with practical application. I will explain it in a moment. And then the very big part of this book is what to do next. So there is a chapter. Hey, if you want to learn next, there are plenty of ways. There is a chapter. Hey, this is what you can do. But then there is a chapter how we can learn. So you can find YouTube courses and some examples of YouTube courses. So you can use some free courses and some examples. You can even use games to learn programming. You can use applications for that, etc., etc., etc. So that was the idea. And I wanted to inspire as many people as possible. So I decided to not write about Kotlin, because as much as Kotlin is, amazing language and it is, extremely important in Android community, it is still a little bit of a niche in the wider community, If someone asks me how to most easily find a job as a programmer, I'm not telling that person learn Kotlin. I'm telling that person learn JavaScript or Python. Yeah, now, those are much, much easier ways to start with programming, at least at the moment, at the market. And so I published the first book about JavaScript. I was describing all the basics of JavaScript. There was a chapter when we were making a game. In JavaScript, there was a ping game. And there were all the things how to learn JavaScript forward. I paid for 1,000 books, 1,500 books, I think, with the label Give It Forward. There was an instruction, do not keep it, just read it or not, and give it to another person who might benefit from that. And we just gave it away. Some of them like physically to a person. Many of them were sent to some schools, to some foundations, to some hospitals, even to prisons. So to different places. And I know people, and I know they are going around. I'm still sometimes receiving some information that someone sends, hey, I received this book and it's amazing that you did that. A year later, I made another book, which was about Python, which was even bigger because I wanted, Python has plenty of usages. So I added a part about different practical usages. So there was like a short chapter, how to write a backend application, how to analyze data in Python, how to make a script or something like that. And there was, of course, a game. Can you guess what game was made in Python?
Snake,
yes, that's exactly that. So we were making Snake in the book about Python, and I also paid for, I think, 1,000 book, but I believe 1,500 was sponsored by Allegro, by the company, and we also gave them away. I'm not sure I'm not sure right now if they sponsored JavaScript or Python, because it was like before pandemic. One of them, I believe they sponsored Python. And I really want to resume that and publish other books in this formula and give them away. Of course, those books are also available in the market. But I intentionally made them like really cheap. They are like much, much cheaper than other books in the market about that. Also, I might add that, I'm from Poland, so those books were published in Polish. Once the war has started, we also made an edition in Ukrainian. We found a people who wanted to translate this book into Ukrainian. So they translated it, and we also had correctors, and we also bought some bundles, and we gave it away. Some of them, many of them, were actually sent to universities on Ukraine.
That's amazing. Like the whole idea of having, you know, those books that people can share around and keep on learning. It's an amazing initiative. I remember like seeing a picture of you with the books in hand, like, please take one. Okay. So we reached the end of the episode. Amazing wisdom as always, Marcin.
It's always nice to meet you.
It's always a pleasure, really. I want to give you one last opportunity to share with the audience where people can find you online if they want to connect with you, ask you questions.
Asking questions is easiest on Twitter. I'm or X. I'm using it. You can also send me something on LinkedIn, but I'm checking it less often. You can also probably quite easily find my email on different places. You can, if you are interested in workshops, then I'm making regular workshops, open workshops, teaching Kotlin. You can find them on kt.academy. It's from Kotlin Academy. And I also organize in company workshops for, so if you have budget and you can organize a workshop in your company, then I'm sure we can set it up.
Amazing. And with this, I want to thank you very much for being on stage with us today, Marcin.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And I also want to thank everyone for listening in the audience. And I hope you enjoyed the episode and have a great day.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.